need to be aware of His presence. Amen? Amen? His presence. I really appreciate that tonight. That's going to go right along with what I'm sharing tonight. Amen? Aware of His presence. Where's everybody at tonight? We're here. You guys are to keep me moving. I got to keep going back and forth. That sun, turn that off. Can you move in the middle? That way I don't have to look that way. This way. How's that? Yeah, there we go. That's great. Thank you, friends. Thank you. And I enjoyed what you said at the end, too, about your prayer, about loving with God with her body, soul, and spirit, you know, and because that's what I'm talking about tonight. Amen? So, amen. So, but before I get into that, I just want to share something. I got a text. Sorry. Pastor Chuck Joel. What's he want? Yeah, I can't help it. It's on my iPad. I need that. Okay. So, I want to talk about presence. It's so important for us to recognize the presence of God. Amen? How many of you guys, we talked before about how that we experience it. People that aren't Christians, whether they know it or not, experience the omnipresence of God. Tell someone He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Even when Abraham disobeyed God and he went into Egypt, amen, he kind of backslid. He went into Egypt because there was a famine in Canaan where the promises of God were, where the milk flowed from with milk and honey. It was supposed to be the place of the grab hold of promises, but there was a famine in the land. Instead of waiting, he left and he went to Egypt. And in the midst of that place, I want you to recognize that God went with him. The omnipresence of God was with him. And I want you to see something that we can all experience the omnipresence of God, but God wants us to have a personal presence of him in our lives. And when we begin to grip the personal presence of God, then there's manifest presence. Amen? There's manifest presence of God's glory and that we experience. And that's powerful. So we have to become more aware of that. And I want you to know that that comes with maturity. Amen? Comes with maturity. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about maturity, about maturing and what those signs are. I want to name a few. All right? I get 10 of them. I'm not going to go over every one. Maybe some other time because I'm going to talk about something that has to do with this, but how do we mature? And this is how we do that. How do we love God? Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, she just praised God. Thank you. Thank you. She's feeling the presence of God. I like that. Someone throws their hands up. I'm always, yeah. What do you, yes. Number one, surrender all. We know that. Amen. Number two, if you want this list, I can give them to you. Number two, you desire to know God intimately. Personally. Amen. Number three, understand God is good even when it doesn't feel good. Amen. Amen. Come on, amen. Even when it doesn't feel good. And I'm going to get into a series here in a few weeks about suffering. About how that we go through things. Sometimes we don't want to talk about that because, you know, we're supposed to pretend everything. But I want you to know when you recognize it, do you know that we can see in Psalms? I don't want to get off on this stuff because this was in my heart today. Is we could see in Psalms where that there was places, literally places, that if you were sitting in a group session and you heard someone say some of these prayers, you would get up and go get the pastor and say, listen, you got to come help this guy. Because this is what, seriously, David was saying some of these prayers, or some of these ones in the Bible were saying some prayers like, you've forsaken me and just crying out. But that's laminate. That's when you come to a place where that that's part of the growth of your healing. Is coming through those processes. Amen? Thanks. And coming through those. You know, it's okay because God wants you to move through those places where like, God, I'm angry about this. It's okay. Because it wouldn't be in there if it wasn't an expression to show how that sometimes you're discouraged or you're frustrated with things, but not to stay there is to come out of that. Come on, amen? Where that you face these things, the death and different things, how you get through. You know, how do you say something to somebody when they're going through something? It's hard. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do? You know, you want to tell them, you know, you want to say the right things, but I've heard people say, I was in a line at a funeral and someone come up to somebody and they said to them, I know what you're going through. They lost their daughter. And they come up to them And I'm trying to mend some of these people. And they come up to them and they said to them, listen, I know what you're going through. Oh, how do you know? I mean, like that's hard, huh? And they said, well, we lost our dog last week. I wanted to grab the person that I had locked and take him out the back door. Listen, but you know, sometimes people don't know how to deal with it because they don't know how to face it. Listen, and we do face death and things like that because why? It makes us realize that we're not for that purpose, but sometimes because of that, we realize that we don't always have everything under control. And sometimes going through that process of praying that way to God is when you're angry, is to grow out of that state so that you can experience healing. And it's part of it, the process to get through that so that you can be healed. So sometimes you are angry. So you have to be able to pray that way. You have to be able to declare that. But the process through that, then you go through that stage. And then you go to the stage where you begin to declare. And you can see it in Psalms. I'm going to go over this later. But where he talks about how that he cried out, even Jesus cried out in Psalms 22. It was prophetic of him. He says, why have thou forsaken me? Okay, do you see that? I mean, this is the expression of man that sometimes we get to this place. But we go to that place, then he began to declare the promises of God. Okay? And then you get to a place where the next part is where you, after you declare the promises of God, is you learn to have trust in the midst of it. Amen? To trust God through the suffering that we sometimes experience. Because sometimes churches don't talk about that. They kind of cover it over. Or they try to... But no, we have to talk about that because we do face them. Because you feel like if you're suffering, that you're sinning or you're not doing something good. Come on, I grew up with that attitude. We were told that. Yeah, I was told that if I left the church, I was going to have a heart attack. You know, woo, thank you. I didn't have a heart attack, thank God. But no, so I mean, that's what you're going to get. So number three, you forgive anyway. That's what mature looks like. You accept being rejected. That's a tough one, but that's a sign of maturity. All right? Remember, we talked last week about an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit is always trying to prove itself. We see that orphan spirit all over the internet with Facebook and all that, where people are frustrated because they see some of these posts and they feel like their life ain't worth something because they don't see it, whatever. Number six, to extend mercy and grace to others. You recognize the need for the Holy Spirit. That's a sign of maturity. I need the Spirit of God. I need the Holy Spirit within me. Number eight, you refuse to promote sinfulness. Number nine, you leave the past in the past. Number 10, you fight like a Christian. You fight. I mean, you don't give up. You keep fighting the fight. Amen? So, those are them. Now, I want to share this. Let me get my glasses on. Where are they? Okay, there. Amen. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about love. Amen? And love is complex. And sometimes trying to describe what love is, we get confused and... you know, overwhelmed by it because we see it everywhere. You know, I mean, what love is. But this is what genuine love really means. This is why, see, I want you to know that God put a price upon it because this is, he told him. Remember, he talked to Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And so if he says that, that meant that he was describing something that Peter, this is how I want you to love me. This is how you love me. And by loving me in return, this is how you'll love others. Okay? So Jesus was describing it. So Peter, I just think about that Peter betrayed the Lord, and now that the Father has raised him from the dead, Jesus lovingly restores him back into fellowship. However, through this place, he's tested three times, and it was very painful to him because he's asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Say three. Remember, we talked that three is very important in the Bible. All right? It speaks of different levels. I mean, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. So we can see the progression. Amen? Say progression. We could see that. So Jesus, I'm going to deal with those couple things. Peter, do you love me more than these disciples? This line of questioning was declaring that there's a way that we are to love God. Jesus said, this is the most important commandment in Mark 12:29-30. He says, one of the both the old and the new, to portray the necessary God's enjoyment, or God's sustained favor upon our lives. Jesus answered, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, remember I said this Saturday, the Lord our God is, say, one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and your mind and your strength, which is soul and mind are together, but he's kind of breaking it apart. So there's three. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay? Now here's the thing that's kind of unique, where that we could see in Jewish culture, they always name the easiest and then the hardest. Okay? It goes from the easiest to the hardest. So what he's saying here is the heart is the easiest way to love God. But the strength is the hardest. So we're going to find out about these. We're going to find out why is that the hardest. Come on, amen? So, but it's always in three. So that it comes from a sense of maturity. So we could see here, it says the scripture, there's no room to be divided affections or our allegiance. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. There is indeed one God who stands supremely powerful and valuable. And he demands a supreme and total loyalty from you and from me. A loyalty that starts where? Right here. So that starts, our love for God starts in our heart. Amen? So, this is the easiest to the hardest. Isn't loving God with one's heart a permanent demonstration of love? How could loving God with our heart, our soul, be easier than loving God with our strength? Amen? So I want you to see this. There's a divine, in there's threes in the scripture that are keys for growing in maturity. In our sonship, when we see the three items listed, we can see this biblical threes in the Bible. I'm going to give them to you. Thou shalt, this is in Psalm 16:11. Thou shalt show me the path, say path, in the presence of fullness of joy, say joy, at the right hand, are pleasures forevermore. In John 14, it kind of describes them. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, he described them. So there's three there. Amen? This is powerful. I'm just teaching things. All right? These divine threes are progressive in nature, with one building on top of the other. They're building, and they gain, they begin to go farther. There's three baptisms in the Bible. Being baptized in water is easier, usually, precedes being baptized by the Holy Ghost. Baptized in water, then baptized in the Holy Ghost. What's the third one? Baptized with fire. We don't like that one. See what I mean? It's the hardest one. It's the one that comes the hardest. It's being baptized in fire. So we're okay with water. I'm good, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit, where that you begin to step out of your own realm and receive the Spirit of God, where that you're moved by the Spirit of God. It's that moment when, fortunately I was at the time where that I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. And I got hit. I really didn't know what was going on. But I personally needed that in my life because I needed that power of the Spirit of God to overcome addiction. I needed that right then in that moment. Okay, I didn't have that time, that learning curve to realize that I needed. No. It would demand it upon my life. But the thing that was crazy was I felt it is when I did feel it, I felt how do I explain it? That I lost sense of control and with understanding of in a sense where that I stepped outside of myself, where that I was releasing and experiencing the power of God. I wasn't in control that moment, and I felt it. I felt like it was letting God was in control, and I felt that just for a moment how that can happen in my life continually. Okay? Where I felt that reassuring comforter in my life right then and there, like overpowering me, overwhelming me. And I had to learn that didn't have to go away. But it can continue. Amen? So, these are a few more. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Say heart, soul, and strength. He said, abide in these three. Faith, hope, and love. Amen? That's in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely so that you be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord. In spirit, soul, and body. Amen? He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing so that you can prove what is the will of God, is which is good, acceptable, and pleasing. You see this three? Good, or good, acceptable, and pleasing. Amen? The easiest way to love your God is with all your heart. It's the easiest way. Let me explain that to you. Hebrews word for heart is lev. It is an ancient word that tells that the heart controls the inside. Your heart is known as the center of your being, the most interior organ. And we understand that. That is literally the interior organ of our being, the center of our being. The old covenant recognized the spiritual relationship with God begins within. From the heart flows the springs of life in Proverbs 4:23. Out of this place comes your will, your desires, your passions, your affections, your perceptions, and thoughts must be rightly aligned, or our life of love is impossible unless those are aligned. So it begins in those places. Amen? That He becomes that first part in our will, our desires, our passions, our affections, and our perceptions, and our thoughts. That God becomes the center of those. Amen? Therefore, Moses calls Israel to know in your heart that God disciplines like a father his sons. He urges God's people to lay it to heart that there is no God besides Yahweh, and to assure that His words be on your heart. Remember, it's your will, your desires, all those things. That's what they represent. He said that His word be on our heart, our passions, our affections. It needs to be lined up with that. And there are more than 1,000 scriptures that speak concerning the heart. Over 1,000. But every one of us began our journey and our love for God from the heart. Amen? And then it grows. Even one of those things, our passions begin to change, our desires begin to change, and all them. If that part isn't lined up with God first, then the other rest of them don't follow. Do you get that? Come on. This is why sometimes we struggle with things. Five aspects of wholeheartedness that God requires to make Him your greatest treasure. That is in Mark 12:30. To search for Him with your whole heart. Say whole heart. Trust Him with your whole heart. Praise Him with your whole heart. Return to Him with your whole heart, with everything. That's in Joel 2:12-13. Sorry, I'm just throwing these out here. If you need to get these scriptures, I'll give them to you. So we got that. To search God, to trust God, to praise God, and return to God with your whole heart. Not giving Him half of it, but your whole heart. The next hardest way to love the Lord your God is with your soul. Along with our hearts, we are called to love the Lord with our soul. In first five books of the Old Testament, the soul refers to one's whole being as a living person, which includes one's heart, but is so much more. We can look in Genesis 2:7. We are told that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils, and He gave life to his soul. Amen? He became alive. The Hebrew word for soul means nephesh, means a breathing creature. It means to breathe or be refreshed. Therefore, to love God with your soul means to love Him with every life's breath. Amen? So we are to love God with our passions, that which motivates you and challenges you. Number two, hungers, your strong desires and your cravings, your perceptions, how you understand and you interpret something, how you see things. Needs to be guided by Him. Amen? And how we work out relational differences, long-suffering. How we work out of things. Amen? That's how we, when we look at things, we look at relationships. That's our love should come from that place. How we, it's motivated by that. Our love for God needs to be motivated for that. Now I want you to see something. That's why that they use the higher calling in AA, triple A, whatever, AA, 2A, double A. Alcoholics Anonymous or drugs, you know. They use a higher calling. And why do they do that? Because what it creates is something that you are living towards higher than yourself. That goes beyond you, okay? And it's reaching for something more. Now, I want you to know that that is something that, as Christians, we're to live by, where that my faithfulness to my wife is based on a higher calling. It's based upon my relationship with God. Now, if I went outside of my marriage, then my relationship with God is jeopardized. So it's based upon a higher calling, that I'm reaching for something higher than myself. I'm reaching for Him. Amen? Now, we all know that's the thing with sin, that we can recognize with sin. When we have sin in our life, it costs something to everybody. It's just not just to yourself. The consequences go beyond you and affect everybody else. Just as much as your love for God can affect everybody else. You see the difference there? That's powerful. Whether we always talk about sin, how that it makes, you know, bad things happen to everything around us, which it does. But yet, if we serve God through the higher calling, reaching for Him, our love for Him is intended towards Him, then that same effect is greater with changes to people around us. Because I'm motivated to something higher. Not to sin, which is lower. You see what I'm saying? Where that it's carnal, it's fleshy. And if it doesn't begin in the heart, it will never get into my whole being. Something higher. Amen? Does that make sense? Alright. Our entire being is our soul. Is to display that we love God. Our soul is synonymous with our mind. Soul and our mind. Our mind is consistent with our will, our emotions, and our intellect. To live out of our mind, out of the mind of Christ. Some of us live out of our mind. But if we live out of the mind of Christ, we must be subject, our mindsets, to the Spirit of a living God. We need to be subjected to Him. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says this, "For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they're powerful through God of demolishing strongholds." Amen? Remember I talked last week about being chained to strongholds? Remember, was that just Saturday? Get the CD. Where that I was, you were chained to those things. And remember, He is God of the breakthrough. So, do you know that God will make you face strongholds that might be hidden in your life? Because guess what? When you know Him, you can't know anything else but breakthrough. And that we're learning not to live just every once in a while breakthrough, but we're called to have breakthrough in us every moment and every day and every situation, everything we face. Come on, amen? That's how we love God. Letting that breakthrough come out of our lives, let it break through that love, that passion that's within us, is powerful when it breaks out of situations. Amen? But what keeps us in strongholds? Things that are in the past? Things that we love more than God? Make sense? I just get louder. She's trying to get louder than me, but I'm telling you, keep the pacifier in your mouth, because she's not trying to preach me. Be careful. You might like her more than me. And we are ready, you probably do, we are ready to punish in disobedience once obedience has been confirmed. Any veil hostility in our mind towards the character of Christ must shift and change to form a new order in the future. Eventually, this shift helps to facilitate the restoration of all things in Christ. How can we, loving God with all your strength, be harder than that? How could strength be harder than those? The hardest way to love the Lord your God is with your strength. What then is meaning of, what does this mean to us? Our strength. Say might. The word translated is might or strength. Functions, and it means very.
We heard Apostle Valentine say that. Remember, he's talked about how that the strength means very. And so if we use the word very, we can see that it means our veriness. Our veriness. Just sounds funny, but that's what it is. The Greek translation of this word is power. So I want you to love him with all power. Now listen. The Aramaic translation is wealth. To love the Lord your God with your wealth. Amen? Both of these are actually be pointing in the same direction for the strength of a person who is not simply who he is, but what he has at his disposal. Now listen, I want you to get this, because this is what's the hardest part with people. Okay, if Moses calls to love the Lord starts with our heart, then moves out to our being, could not our veriness be one stop bigger and include all our resources? 2 Kings 23:25, we are told that King Josiah turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all his soul and with all of his might. It's harder to love God with all your resources than the very breath you take. Think about it. That's what it's saying. So why is that? It's harder to love God with all of our resources than the very breath that you take out of your soul. Breathe. Come on, somebody breathe. It's easier to do than what I'm going to describe to you. It's harder. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. Amen? God requires... Remember, God spoke to Abraham about his only son. Abraham, the father of our faith, is the example of one who loves the Lord with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his strength. Sometime later, God tested Abraham of that challenge. Remember, he wanted to show him how this works. I want you to see that this is what God does. God does not test us to cause us to fail, but God tests us in situation so that he could show how powerful he is in our lives. That's the reality of it. Come on, amen. That's the reality of it. That we're not meant to stay in the chains that we've been subjected to, but to break through because we have the breakthrough anointing within us. And the only way that we do that is giving him all of who we are. So Abraham was tested in these areas to see if it worked. And he says, and sometime later he began to test Abraham. Here he said, here am I. He replied, then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Amen? And he says, and there is... We know who's talking to him. Say God. He hears God. He knows the voice of God. It isn't a voice of an enemy, but it's the voice of a friend. But the message must have brought agony. Think about this, that you're to sacrifice your son. Now listen to this. Isaac, all the promises of God to Abraham find their focus, their blessing in him, in that son, the miracle son. That Sarah at 90 and Abraham at 100. How can God ask for him to do this now? I want you to see this. God describes Isaac in two ways. Say, he's the only son. He's the only son that he had. And Isaac whom you love and who he loves. That's what he described it. And then early in the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his sons, Isaac, and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out, you all know this, out of the place that God told him to go. And on the third day, say third day, resurrection power. Come on, there's three. The first, it only began with when he heard. He heard it. He loves God. He was able to do that. Remember, God's testing every one of these places of his love. He's thinking in his mind. Do you love me more than this? Abraham, it's getting on that, getting closer to the place. Do you love me more? Until the final place. And I want you to see this is powerful because it speaks of the third. Say resurrection. Now this is the powerful thing that we can understand here. Because it all comes alive with that. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. I want you to see here, his love for him was greater than his reasoning in his heart. That speaks of the second one, the mind. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. So he's reasoning in his mind about God's power. See, where do we always make a mistake? Where that you could look in the Bible where it always talks where Jesus, Mary sitting there, Sadducees were reasoning in their mind. That's what always gets us in trouble. When you begin to reason how things should be. Try to understand. I'm going to tell you something right now to make it easy for everybody. You will never always understand what God's doing. But you got to trust Him because it's part of our love for Him that our reasoning goes about. But God, you're powerful. God, you're greater. God, Lord, I just can imagine Him. Listen, He would have never went to sacrifice His son if He didn't think in His mind, God can bring Him back again. God can bring him back from the dead. Because why? Because he said, we will return again. He was declaring something. So this is the power of that love that he had for God. It was greater than anything else. Now listen. Now remember, his inheritance was what? In that son. Say resources. Was in the son. Now this is the third part of that love. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Now, I want to jump off a sidetrack real here. Say, and I want you to see here that, remember when Abraham, when he disobeyed God and he left Canaan and he went back to Egypt? I want you to know when we move from God, out of the presence of God, all right? The one thing there wasn't in Egypt was an altar where the presence of God was. The omnipresence of God was there because he created havoc to get Abraham kicked out of Egypt. Remember, Pharaoh said, you need to get out of here. You need to go. Go back to where you came from. That's the love of God, okay? But when he went back to Canaan, what did he do? He built an altar in the presence of God. Filled the place. And see, that's the thing. Listen, you know a sign of maturity. When you're running from God and His presence, there's no relationship with God. You're hiding from Him. Amen? There's no altar. There's no place of reach. Or somebody says, well, I'm just seeking God. Well, unless you're building an altar, a place where that you meet with Him. Seriously, that you meet with God. Where you set time aside. God's always with us, but listen, that maturity says that I need something more. I want a personal time where I set it aside for God. To say, I'm going to meet with you. All through the Bible, we see that men and women of God set a moment, a time, say, God, I'm meeting with you. And I'm not leaving this till you meet with me, God. I know a man that wrote amazing books. He's passed away, but he would go into his office in the presence of God, and God spoke to his heart, you're going to write a book. What am I writing a book about? Just go in your office, go. He would go in his office, and he wouldn't come out of his office. They would slide the food in the door, because he had like a slot thing, and give him drinks or whatever. He had a bathroom in his office. He would not come out. He did not come out for 3 weeks and wrote like a whole encyclopedia of Types and Shadows. Non-stop. See, I mean, and there's something about that. Meeting with God. Saying, God, I'm going to meet with you. And when there's a demand, when you put it for God, God will meet with you. Seek me and you will find me. Amen? How much demand do we put on God that way? So so Isaac laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. Yahweh says, now I know that you fear God. That is, he is committed to God. One who fears God stands in awe of God. He lives with a practical righteousness and piety, obeying and walking in the Lord's ways. I believe that God's, every one of us demonstrate this when we love God in these three areas and we submit to His Lordship, especially in the resources. Listen to this. The Webster Dictionary says resources, which is strength, means a source of supply or support. To love God as my source of supply and support. This is why it's harder than just breathing, because it comes natural. Something within us to love God. Listen. Number two, a natural source of wealth. A source of information, an ability to meet and to handle a situation.
Wow.
How do I meet any situation? The word resource comes from the French word, résidor, which means to relieve. To relieve. The word, listen to this. It is importantly to see what it means. That word means to relieve, means to rise again. Say rise again. I want you to see this. Remember what happened when Abraham loved God in all three of these levels. This is what happens. To rise again. And if you look up that word rise again, it means, guess what it means? Resurrection. This is what happens when you begin to love God in all three aspects of our lives and begin to focus that. Your resources are able to resurrect. Loving God with your strength is fulfilled by spending our resources in Christ as He perfectly desires. Our time, our energy, and our money. Energy, talents, same thing. The three big indicators of our level of maturity. What are they? Time, energy, and money. That is some of the hardest things to do. I want you to know, and I'm not preaching to anybody because all you guys are givers, but money is mentioned in the Bible. Just go do a research on it. It's mentioned. You know why? Because we love that so much. And it's strength. Right? That's strength. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's powerful. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to know that. See, it's easy for us to... How much... When you have a lot of money, when you have money, when you have access to a lot of money, it's kind of easy sometimes. When you don't have any needs, in a sense, with everything's paid, where there's not a sense of... It's hard. The Bible says that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it is the third hardest thing to do. To love God with your resources. Say, I love you, God, but don't touch my resources, my strength, my time. Think about it. I mean, seriously, to give tonight, every one of you guys is powerful because you gave your time. Not everybody will give God time. Come on, amen. Not everybody will give that our wealth. And not everybody will give our energy, the talents, what I have for God. We have energies that we dispose upon everything else, but it's for God. And that's what's powerful. This means that the call to love God with all of our strength isn't only with our physical muscle, but with everything we have available for honoring God. Everything, everything. From the top to the bottom. Offering to God. Amen? He says, I want you to see something, understand something. This is why the disciples were able to martyr themselves. Because they understood what it was to love God with all their strength. See, Abraham let go of his own strength in a sense where he sacrificed his son. Why? Because God's his resource. Yeah, but you have all this in the account. If you give this up, you might not. No, no. He's my resource. Not that thing that I'm giving up, but no, God's my resource. He's my source, not that thing. Come on, you get that? And he says, and Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. This is Mark 12:30. Soul in your mind and with all your strength. Wow. And that's why he says to Peter. He told him, Peter, three times. Peter, do you love me? So I want you to see that our maturity in God is progressive. That God is trying to get every one of those places in our life to be surrendered to Him. To place Him first. To put Him first in our mind, our thinking, our emotions, our will, and all of our strength, our resources. Lord, I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to lay it aside. Because I trust You more than anything else. And it doesn't come right away. God doesn't ask us for that at the beginning. He just says, learn to love me. And when you love me, you'll be an experience me, then all of a sudden it becomes less and easier and easier and easier. Amen? It really does. When we commit ourselves to God and all that we do. So, and if we love God, we find time for Him. We find time. We spend that time alone with Him and encounter God in those areas. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God. I ask the God, Lord, that each one of us, just with this simple lesson to God, Lord, just to be focused to God, Lord, and to recenter ourselves to God and our love for You and all that we have in our heart, in our mind, and with our strength, that we lay aside and be willing to live a life for You outside of our own selfish desires, but that we live after the will of the Father. And Lord, in that is blessing. Lord, Paul declared, you love the Lord your God, that all things work together. All things. If we love God, all things work together for good. Amen? You get that? So many people quote that scripture. But what I describe what love is. That's love. That God desires. And then all things work together for good.